Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Our Lord is well into his public ministry. He begins to see the rejection of Israel galvanizing together. They have sought the destruction of John the Baptist. They have rejected the Son of God. Most of his mighty works where he did his miracles, they rejected his authority. But yet, he speaks to his disciples that have received him, recognizing that the kingdom is about to be rejected. The normal, supernatural kingdom signs are going to pass, and there will be sorrow. There will be additional rejection. As a matter of fact, the disciples and those that would follow in the pathway of Jesus would follow the same course of rejection. But the Lord gives comfort in the midst of rejection. And he says in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Many had no need, they thought, for Jesus Christ. But to those who would come to him in simple saving faith, he would meet their needs, not only in salvation, but in the daily difficulties and trials of life. And he says, notice in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 81 and verse 6, when the psalmist is declaring the work of God in rescuing Israel from the slavery of Egypt. You remember the words, if you'll turn to that passage in Psalm 81 and verse 6, you have the fact of God lifting up his people from the burden. You'll notice in Psalm 81 and verse 6, it says, "I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots." You remember the Lord brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, and he delivered their shoulder from the burden, and their hands were delivered from the pot. Well, when Jesus Christ made that utterance in Matthew chapter 11, he was identifying himself with the work of God. The true Savior would be a burden lifter, not a burden creator. And yet you look at all of the religions of the world today, they all place heavy burdens upon people. Things that you must do in order to somehow reach eternal life. How about looking just for a moment at the example of the Pharisees? What did Jesus say was the earmark of the ministry of the Pharisees? Look at Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, verses 1 through 4, you have the work and the ministry of the Pharisees. Look at Matthew 23. Verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." They have his authority. "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe." That observe and do, "but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now look at verse 4 and contrast verse 4 with the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28. Christ was the burden lifter. But notice the Pharisees, they were the ones who would bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. All of their extra biblical religious traditions, their add-ons to the Word of God, they would bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. Well, in Psalm 86, the Lord removed the burden from the shoulders of non-believers. In Matthew 11, he lifted the burden, but the Pharisees, they placed the burdens on men's shoulders. And notice, they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. So Christ's ministry really was in contrast with the burdens that the scribes and the Pharisees, and indeed the many religions of the world, do today. Now, how does that impact us in our daily lives? How should we respond to the burdens that many are facing today? Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. God's word reads, and let's read verse 1 and 2 together. Notice what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. That spirit of humility. Look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, who are we being more like when we bear someone's burdens? Are we being more like the Lord, or are we being more like the devil and his false emissaries? When we help other people bear their burden, we're being more like our Lord. And it says this, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The word baros, which is translated burdens here, means a heavy weight, human frailty, a heavy weight. And it says this, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We need to be concerned not about ourselves and our own standing and what people think of us, but we need to have our minds on the needs of others. The Word of God says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man will bear his own burden. That word burden is a different Greek word. It's something that has to be carried without reference to its particular weight, but just responsibilities. At the judgment seat of Christ, individuals will respond to that. But the key is being a burden bearer. What are we doing tonight when we go to pray for one another on this prayer list? We are holding up one another's arms in prayer. We're encouraging. We're being used and involved in the ministry of prayer. Now look at 1 Thessalonians. Let me have you turn to 1 Thessalonians, this one last passage. Again, the title is Christ Our Burden Lifter. And we've seen how Christ is our burden lifter, and we need to lift one another's burdens. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, notice what it says. We beseech you, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, we beseech you, therefore, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now notice what it says in verse 14. Oh, there are many that are bearing burdens and they don't always respond properly in the body of Christ. And that's going to be true in our church and in any church. There are going to be individuals in various stages of spiritual maturity. And notice it says, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. The Greek word unruly refers to out of line, those that are not marching according to cadence. In the classical Greek, it referred to a soldier who didn't keep rank, but he insisted on marching his own way. Oh, years back when I was a kid, I used to watch the Three Stooges when they were in the military. And you remember how Curly, and he was in the military, and the sergeant was trying to get him to learn how to march. And you remember he was marching in the wrong direction. And he was mishandling his rifle to the point where he threw it at the sergeant in exasperation, and he was quickly expedited out of the unit there. Well, that's a beautiful, comical picture that some of us might empathize with, but unruly means those that are not walking, they're careless, they're walking out of line. And you know what? We need to have a ministry of caring for those. And it requires a great deal of patience, as we're going to see in a little while. But it says here, warn them that are unruly. We have a responsibility to warn them lovingly. Love them enough to give them the truth. But then it says we are to comfort the feeble-minded. I know what you're thinking of when you read in the King James, feeble-minded. You're thinking of the person that is forgetful, someone who maybe is touched with dementia or Alzheimer's. But that's not the meaning of the word. It really refers to someone who's discouraged, mentally discouraged. They're weak. They're faint-hearted. They're ready to give up. Do you know anyone like that? You know, sometimes we can begin talking with someone and we begin sharing with them and they begin to tell us a little bit about their story. Are you a good listener? Do you take the time to listen to people? Or do you just say, well, how are you doing? Oh, well, I hope you're having a great day. And you walk off before you even give them a chance to maybe say what's really bothering them. But there are many that are weak and discouraged spiritually and faint-hearted and are ready to quit or give up. And you know what? Your response of caring and perhaps having a short word of prayer might make a big difference in their life. Melody and I spoke with a couple that were right there, just totally very, very discouraged at circumstances. And you could hear it in their voice. And we need to take the time to stop and minister to them and bear their burden. Not to be so quick to be judgmental or to break out the overhead projector with a solution for their problems with a three-point outline, but just let them talk and share their hearts. And notice it goes on to say this, not only the unruly, those that are out of line, or those that are spiritually discouraged, but we are to support the weak. Now, that's not referring to physically weak, but it's referring to spiritually weak. Take the time to remind them about the Word of God. You remember the spiritually weak were those who needed to be taught biblical principles, for instance, in Romans 14, the principles of Christian liberty. Many of the weak thought that there was no liberty in Christ, and they were given to legalism so quickly, and they needed to be taught the principles of biblical grace. So these scriptures are a good challenge for us to be like Christ in the area of being a burden lifter. God was a burden lifter to Israel when he took the weight off of their shoulders and gave them freedom. Christ was a burden lifter when he came to those who were living the encrusted life of legalism and burden-bearing. And we are to do so in the body of Christ as well, teaching proper biblical concepts of grace in patience, teaching them the word of God. Notice the admonition in verse 15 ends by saying, be patient towards all men. Because we're not going to be used in the work of the Lord unless we are patient people. One of the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3 is patient. And we need to be patient. Keep on sowing the word of God. We're not always going to get the results that we would like. And sometimes we'll go back for a second session and they'll be right back to where they were. But let's be patient and let's encourage them in the word of God. Now, there's a hymn that I want us to sing. We sang Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, didn't we? Well, now there's another hymn I want you to sing with me, and it's about burdens as well. And it's number 367. So let's take our hymn books again. And this one is called Jesus Took My Burdens. It's by a man called Johnson Oatman. And I think that you have heard it. I have heard Homer Roederhever do a good job with this one too, on tape. It's recorded, but here, Jesus took my burden. And I'd like for us to sing it, and let's just keep in mind, as we're singing this hymn, what Jesus has done for us. He wants to lift our burden. He did so on the cross. When he took that insurmountable burden that none of us could ever pay or shoulder, he carried it by the shedding of his blood, that we might have eternal life. And also, he wants to carry our burden for us as we serve him and live the Christian life. How many of you think you know this one? Let me see your hands. Okay, I think we have a fighting chance. Follow the bouncing ball as we sing 367. When I, a poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud it call, he heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. On the third and fourth. When I was crushed in sorrow, I bowed in deep despair. My load of grief and heartache seemed more than I could bear. 'Twas then I heard a whisper, "You to the Lord belong." Then Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. I'll trust him for the future, he knoweth all the way, for with his eye he'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. And I will tell in heaven, while ages roll along, how Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, and spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Has it been a while since you've sung that one? Well, it's good to include it once again in our repertoire, and it just goes right along with Jesus, our burden bearer. So why should we bear it? You know, the old story of a guy that was hitchhiking down the road, and he had a big, big knapsack on his back, and this guy with a pickup truck with a huge cab picks him up. And the guy gets into the truck, still bearing the backpack. And the man looked at him and said, "Son, what's wrong with you? Take that burden off and throw it in the back. Enjoy the ride." And that's what he did. And you know, we need to learn to do that with the Lord. Let him carry our burden.